We appreciate this church because one of the greatest things that you can help us with is prayer. And I like to share this with congregations. There are three things really that you can pray for right now. Hi guys, how are you doing? Three things. One, we need translators. You know, translators are worth their weight, 10 times worth their weight in gold at the value of gold today. I'm serious. If you don't have a good translator, you can preach the greatest message in the world, but it doesn't get communicated. And so you want to make sure your translator is preaching the same message you are. That's helpful.
Amen.
So fortunately, I can understand my translators. So when they get off, I correct them. But I don't teach and preach in Chinese because my vocabulary is not to the level. I was talking to Rick Renner one time about that. And he mentioned the same thing, that, you know, he had to start teaching immediately at a high level, and his language ability was at a little bit lower level. And so when you start doing that, you don't take the time, it just doesn't catch up to that level. And so for Chinese, you need to study a minimum of 10 years every day to be able to just communicate effectively. That's anyone who's done any language. This is our fourth language that we've attempted to learn, and this is the most difficult. It's the tonal language, but it's also the word selection. Every word, every character has its own meaning, and they don't use, one word doesn't have multiple definitions like many of our words. So you have to know lots of words. There's 50, 60,000 characters minimum. And so conversational Chinese, no problem. You know, talking to people, just very minimal teaching level. But so we need translators. So we need verbal translators, written translators, because we have a lot of materials that we're working on right now, 18 to 20 different Faith Library publications by Brother Hagin that we're translating, editing. I have two publishers right now working on those in simplified text. We're going to make those available not only in printed form but online, in first PDF form and then later on electronically downloadable formats. We're also, you notice, working on an online program. We've received approval to be a pilot program, the first online program for Rhema. The reason for that is because of our situation. It's difficult to do what we do in that nation. And so, you know, any means available to spread the gospel in this word is helpful to us. And electronically spreading the gospel is a great advantage today. We live in a remarkable period in the history of the world. I think really these guys who invented all these devices really didn't know God was helping them to help us, to help the church spread the gospel. And so thank God for everyone who's come up with any kind of a device that helps people do that. You know, in China, most people don't carry a Bible like this. They carry it on their phone. I'd say the majority of Christians carry a Chinese version or more than one on their phone. It's free. It's downloadable. There are 1 billion cell phone users in China. And 50% of the countryside now has access to fairly decent internet access. All the cities have good internet access. And so most of the Christians, the older ones may still prefer to carry this. But the younger ones, you know, one time my interpreter was on his phone. I thought, how rude of you, you know, look on your phone while I'm preaching. But I realized he had his Bible there and also his dictionary. And so he didn't know the word. He had his Bible and dictionary right there. And so that's just the way it is. I mean, that's just the way the younger generation are working today. And so we have to be able to connect to them. We can't say, well, you can't use that, you know, go back to this. No, that's just what they're going to use. And so we work with them. We have an online program that will be launched, a test version in 2015. We have 12 courses all in Chinese. We just finished doing Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin will be teaching in Chinese. He probably didn't know he could do that, but now he is. And the gentleman you saw praying or interpreting Brother Hagin's prophecy that was given in 1979 is Amos Wong. He's a 1999 Rhema grad. He and his wife Doris are Singaporean. He's Chinese descent. He speaks fluent Chinese. We partner together. He's now my director of China. And so he can go in easily, blend in, He speaks more of a southern dialect. So when he's in the south, they don't even know he's from Singapore, which is very helpful. He was just in a large church in a southern province. They had about 1,800 at a Christmas get-together. We had a lady who was 100% blind in one eye, 70% blind in the other eye, instantly healed. Multiple healings, multiple people receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In China right now, it's kind of like the charismatic renewal, the end of it. When we pray for people, we don't even lay hands on them. We just pray in mass, and they just receive in mass. Many times, just fall down under the power, get up speaking with tongues. One lady who's been in our training program, who pastors a government church, said she just, you know, we sent her six books by Brother Hagin. She got up, just read them from the pulpit, and people started raising their hands saying, I just got healed. I just started speaking this strange language. I don't know what it is. Just from reading a book from the pulpit. And so great things are happening in that nation. About 25,000 Chinese are coming to the Lord every month. 25,000 a month. The church is anywhere between 90 million to 120 plus million. Really don't know the exact count because the unregistered churches obviously don't register. So we don't know. So the church is doing well. There's about 10%+ Christian in China, and it's growing every year. And so we are there to help pastors. We're there to give them resources, materials, and training to help them become better pastors. Because we believe that the way that God works in the world today, we believe this very strongly. The number one way that God works in the world today is through local churches. Jesus said to Peter, I'm going to build my what? My what? Church. Not Bible school. And we believe in Bible schools. I'm the head of a Bible school, and so we believe in it. Not any other organization, but my church. Now, all these other organizations are parachurch organizations, and we appreciate them, and I'm a part of them. And they're great in reaching out and doing a specific work they're called to do. But the church is the central focus of God's plan. I'll build my church, and I like this, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know, I used to think it was like, you know, the church is a fortress and hell cannot invade it, but it's the other way around. It's the gates of hell can't keep the church out. The strength of hell cannot keep the church from invading and taking territory and pulling people out of darkness and bringing them over into the family of God. I like that. I like that. So that's our purpose for being in China, is to help local churches, to help pastors. That's why we're there, to give them materials and training and resources. The average pastor in China has about an hour's worth of Bible school training. That's it. And so they're doing the best they can, and God will help them. But obviously, you know, the Bible says in the Old Testament, if the axe is sharp, then you can be more productive. You can cut more wood. It takes longer if the axe is dull. So we're there to sharpen the axe, to give them tools, and to help them develop the gift that God's placed on the inside. That's our purpose for being there. And so it's a large nation. We have a lot of work to do. And without God's help and strength and resources, it's impossible. But we're doing our part. There are many wonderful ministries around the world that are impacting China. But we have a specific purpose for being there. You know, we are part of Rhema. Rhema has a particular mandate from God, a particular message that God has entrusted those of us who are a part of that with that message, and so we're doing our part. We're not the only part. We're only one part of the body, but we want to do our part well. And so we're there to teach, train, instruct pastors, and raise up ministry gifts within that nation. That's what they need. They need the anointing. You know, remember Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I did not come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. So man's wisdom is enticing. We can see that today. It's enticing, but it doesn't change anybody. It's only head knowledge. Head knowledge doesn't change you. There's two kinds of knowledge, you understand. There's natural human knowledge that comes through the five physical senses. Everything in your brain, the knowledge you have in your brain has come through one of the five sensory mechanisms. All of it. But then there's another kind of knowledge that comes directly from the throne of God through the Holy Spirit, through His Word. It's revelation knowledge. That is what changes things. That's why Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, when I came to you, and that church, he was only there for about 2 weeks. As a matter of fact, last year we were in Thessaloniki and had a meeting there. And so I bragged on them. I said, Paul wrote two letters to you. Our good friend was from Athens. He didn't write one letter to the Athenians, but he piped up and he said, that's because we're so good. But the Thessalonians are the same today as they were then, wonderful people. Paul was there 2 weeks because the persecution had to leave, and that church was a tremendous church. And the reason it was, in the second chapter, you'll find out Paul said, when I preached to you, received my word, not as the word of a man, but as the word of God that effectually worketh in you. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when I spoke to you, I didn't do it with enticing words of man's wisdom, but my speech and my preaching was in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That's what changes people. One move of the Holy Spirit can affect your life forever. Forever. I'm not interested in just, you know, just volumes of information. I'm interested in an experience that is in line with God's Word. I remember when I was raised, the church I was raised in, you know, we were not too open to what we call the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And after I received, I had many of my friends who went to seminary, and they tried to convince me that this was not a real experience, but volumes of books written against it, arguments against it, cannot overcome the experience that you have with God. It's life-changing. Life-changing. Hallelujah. I understand why Jesus said, don't leave to his disciples. Don't even leave the city limits until you be endued with power from on high. It's important. It's necessary. That's what changes the lives of people. Hallelujah. When I was filled with the Holy Spirit, they told me I would settle down. They're still waiting for me to settle down. That's been almost 40 years ago. Well, it's good to be here with you today. And I want to share something with you from the Word before we leave today. This is the 4th of July weekend. And it's good to be back in the States. For the 4th of July, we're here. We're not here that often during the 4th. And, you know, when you live in other countries, the 4th is just another day. And so if you're not careful, you can just kind of go right by that day. But thank God for this nation. And I really believe God raised up this nation for a purpose. And that purpose is to be a light, to take the gospel to the world. We are still the number one nation in sending missionaries. Still number one. And that to me is an outstanding quality of any nation, any country. The Koreans are getting close. They're catching up, but let's not let them pass us. They are very evangelistic. They have over 60,000 missionaries in China. I mean, they're doing a tremendous work. Thank God for the South Koreans. The Brazilians are sending missionaries now all over the world. They have a tremendous move of God in Brazil, a sustained revival for 30 years. Tremendous things are happening in South America, Africa. Tremendous things are happening. By the year 2050, Africa will be considered a Christian continent at the pace of evangelism that's taking place. Southeast Asia, Indonesia, I have a good friend in Indonesia. The largest Muslim nation in the world is now about 20 to 25% Christian. They will not publish those figures. But a great revival is taking place in Indonesia. As a matter of fact, a lot of the Indonesians are getting saved and not removing their Muslim attire, and they're having their own services, and you wouldn't even know they're Christian, but the way they're worshiping is they're worshiping Jesus Christ. And so great things are happening. There's a great messianic movement in Indonesia. They're praying for Israel. There's wonderful things happening in that nation, in Vietnam, in Cambodia, in Laos, in Thailand. Of course, we have a school in Thailand, in Myanmar or Burma. There's a school there. In East Malaysia and Malaysia, wonderful things are happening. India. So the gospel is going around the world. You don't hear this on the national news. You don't hear the good reports. But Christianity, evangelical Christianity, is growing at the fastest rate of any other religious group in the world. I use that word religious in terms of just to define things. growing at a faster rate than any other group. And Pentecostal evangelicals are growing faster than any other group in the world. We see a tremendous move of God. And so we don't always hear about these things because they don't make news. But in heaven they're making news. That's what makes news in heaven. That's the headline news in heaven. Hallelujah. You remember what the writer of Hebrews said? That we are encompassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. So all of our friends and family who have preceded us in heaven, they know what takes place spiritually. They don't care about natural things, but they understand what's taking place spiritually, and they are cheering us on. We're getting closer. I don't know when that time is, but we're getting closer. Wonderful things are taking place. If you have your Bibles, open them with me, if you would, to Colossians, first of all, the third chapter. Colossians chapter 3. Thank God for this nation. We celebrate its birthday this weekend. And we need to continue to pray for our nation and be a spiritual example to those around us. Hold up the light of the gospel. Amen. Be an example. Paul told Timothy, be an example to the believers. We need to be examples to those around us, regardless of where we live or work. And as your pastor said, this is becoming, America's becoming its own mission field. It's amazing to see all the people that are coming in. And you know, you can complain about that, but I look at it as an opportunity. You don't have to go. You should thank God you don't have to go. You can stay here and God's sending people to you. That's the way to look at it. Thank God they're coming by the thousands to receive the gospel. Amen. You don't have to go. They're coming here to you. Think about all the money you're saving. You don't have to get adjusted to a new culture, new food, new language. Think about that. And so praise God for everyone. This is a nation, you know, we're not going to get into all that, but this is a nation who receives people. And so we just have to do our best to pray and believe God that God has a plan and He's going to use the church to be a blessing to humanity. Amen? Hallelujah. We need to keep positive and stay focused on what God wants us to do as a church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if you were raised with Christ. How many of you have been raised with Christ? Amen. Well, what are you doing in St. Paul then? Well, we know he's talking spiritually. If you've been raised with Christ, if you're born again spiritually, positionally, you are in Christ. You have been joined to the Lord. Paul said, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Spiritually, you have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a member of that church. Jesus is the head. Hallelujah. If you have been risen with Christ, and you said you are, then seek those things which are where? Where? Above. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your what? Mind. I'm reading New King James Version. I don't know what I forget what the King James says. Is this King James? Set your mind. This is what Paul used. I'm joking. Okay. Set your mind on things what? Above. Where? Where Christ is sitting. He just said in verse 2 or verse 1, those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, don't misunderstand me. You have to think about natural things. I mean, you have bills to pay. You have to think about, if you have children, you have to think about their education. You have to think, if you're getting to that age, think about retirement. You have to think about a lot of things. So God is not saying that we just ignore the natural. What he's saying is that when we come into this new family, we come into a new kingdom that has a new mentality that's different from the mentality of this world. And so what he's saying is we have to start changing our thinking. We have to begin to prioritize those things that are spiritual in nature because they are eternal. Remember Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said the things that are temporal, or on this that we see, are temporal or subject to change. But the things we don't see with this physical eye are eternal. They don't change. Those are the most important things. Eternal things. Hallelujah. So he said, set your mind or fix your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Now, I want to share just briefly with you something that revolutionized my life. And this is even after I graduated from Bible school. After 2 years of Bible training and even beginning in early stages of Christian service, there were some issues I had to overcome, not in my spirit, but in my soul. You know that God created you with three parts to your makeup, spirit, soul, body. We know that from reading 1 Thessalonians 5:28. Paul said, I pray to God you sanctify your whole spirit, your whole soul, your whole body. So when God created you, He created you with three parts. This physical body is the part of you that your spirit and soul lives in. This is the part of you that contacts this physical world that we live in. James said, when the body is dead, the spirit and the soul leave the body. This physical body is for the purpose of you living in this physical natural world. Now one day we're going to have a new body. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that time because I won't have to diet anymore. My wife, you know, Connie, is a physical education health major. So she is my personal trainer, whether I want one or not. I told her I got tired of praying three times over my meals. I just laid hands on the refrigerator, but that didn't work. Every time, you know, I eat, she gives me this sign. That's from a scripture in Proverbs that says, if you be a man given to appetite, put a knife to your throat. But then I found another scripture in Proverbs that says, the righteous man eats to his heart's content. Yeah. That's the one I put on the refrigerator. Hallelujah. No, I appreciate her. She keeps me in shape. But one day we'll have a new body. Brand new body. But now we have this one. This is the only one you have. You can't trade it in, so we have to take care of it. Now, you have a spirit which is created in the image and the likeness of God. It is eternal. And you have a soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. The only part of your makeup that was changed during the new birth was your spirit. This spirit became a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit came to dwell in this spirit, your human spirit. You were made the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. You have the life, the nature of God. Now we have to feed our spirit on God's nature. And God's nature is revealed in God's Word. As we feed on the Word of God, Peter says, we grow. We are changed. We are transformed. Peter says we become partakers of His divine nature. So it's important that we feed our spirits daily on God's Word. Jesus said, you know, in Matthew 4, Luke 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So what food is to your physical body, God's Word is to your spirit. Now, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. When you were born again, nothing physically changed. You did not become physically taller or shorter. Your eye color didn't change. Your ears did not become bigger or smaller. Nothing changed physically. And nothing really changed in your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. You may have had a little bit of change, transformation, but you had some of the same thoughts you had before you became saved. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. If we read the Bible tells us we have to do something with our mind. As a matter of fact, F.F. Bosworth said this, the first thing God asked the Christian to do after they become saved is to change your thinking. Because what you think about all the time will affect what you believe. And your believing will affect your behavior. what you have in life, what you become in life, is directly connected to your behavior, believing. And your believing is directly connected to what you think. So Paul says here in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and we know what he says in verse 1, we'll not focus on that, but in verse 2, he's writing to born-again, Spirit-filled believers. And he tells them, do not be conformed to what? This world, this word world, your pastor was mentioning this morning that there's a word for cosmos, but this word is not cosmos, it's a different word. It's not referring to the physical planet or all the people living on this planet. It's referring to an age. Really, the best way to define this word is a system of thinking. A system of thought that is created by societies, by nations. We have a system of thinking. That's why Paul said, if your life is in Christ, then start setting your mind or focusing your mind on spiritual things. Not only, you understand, but start retraining your mind to think about spiritual things. Because if our mind is only consumed with natural thoughts only, we're going to miss what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. The Holy Spirit does not speak to your foot or your hand. He lives in your spirit. God is going to communicate to you primarily, number one, through His written word. But secondly, and closely linked to that, is through the Holy Spirit to your spirit. He's going to communicate to your spirit because God is a spirit. You are a spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of your spirit. He's going to communicate with your spirit. Now, that many times, those thoughts will come up out of your spirit to your consciousness, to your mind. How many of you have been in a situation, maybe a difficult situation or a perplexing situation, and all of a sudden there's a scripture, something just seems to come up into your mind? Anyone? Well, I'm pretty sure the devil probably didn't do that. I know in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, the devil did quote a portion of the 91st Psalm. But more than likely, that did not, if it helped you, if it brought comfort to you, direction to you, more than likely, that didn't come from the enemy. That came from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been sent to be your helper, not your doer. Okay? He's your helper. And Jesus told His disciples, it is expedient. In other words, it's to your advantage I leave. How can that be to our advantage? He said, because if I don't leave, the Comforter, the Helper, will not come. But when He comes, He'll not just be with you, He'll be in you. So you carry God with you wherever you go. You carry the Helper with you wherever you go. What is He doing on the inside of you? Well, He's there to show you things to come. He's there to guide you into all truth. He's there to speak. Whatsoever He hears, the Bible says, that will He speak, and He'll show you things to come. And do we ever need that today? We need that today. We need direction from heaven. Because we're bombarded with all kinds of information that comes through the filter of this natural world. And this natural world becomes more cynical, more negative, more anti-God. Now, we have to live in the world, operate in the world, and that's why Paul says here in Romans chapter 12, do not be conformed to the world or how the world thinks. That means you can be. Right? How do we do that? He goes on to say, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. So the way we become conformed is through our thinking. That word, conformed, is the way to describe it is simply if you took a piece of clay and pressed it or shaped it into something. It's outward pressure that forces you into a shape. That's the word that's used here. And so this world has pressure in it. It has pressure, financial pressure, all kinds of other pressure that we deal with every day. And if we're not careful, that pressure can squeeze us into a shape. It can squeeze us into a way of thinking that is anti-God. Or that is anti-faith. Or that is anti-Holy Spirit. It's not an instant process. It's a slow process. As a matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, let's look at that quickly, then we'll come back to this. This is so important. Hebrews chapter 2, and then we'll come back here and focus on this one more time. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have what? Heard. You can't do that. You can't give heed to something you haven't heard yet. Things you already heard, have heard, or already know. That's why Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I'm going to stir up your pure minds to remembrance of the things you have received or heard or know. I'm going to stir you up. Why? Because every day our minds are bombarded with a system of thinking that is contrary to God. Every day. And the day that we live in today, even more so. How many of you, you know, and I ask this to young people and they look at me like, you know, I'm from another planet, because they can't ever remember a time there was no cell phone. Remember the first cell phone? Looked like, you know, a small suitcase. Remember that? And then, man, we had pagers. You were cool when you had a pager. Remember that? What did we do without cell phones and computers? My goodness, I was raised in the country. We had a party line. That means you could listen to your neighbors, basically. You know, y'all, everyone had a different ring on that party line. So you know which ring was yours. If it rang twice or three times, you know, and then some of the, you know, other people would... I know you're listening. You know, that was the way to get information back then. Wasn't Facebook, it was party line. So, you know, I can tell there's people here who know that. No cell phone. How did we ever manage? No social media, dear Lord Jesus. How did we get by? We had to listen to the Holy Spirit. Unbelievable. We had to rely on other things. Nothing wrong with that. I believe in technology and I use it to my advantage. But we have to be careful that we don't allow all of this information that bombards us constantly. And it can. We can become slowly cynical, slowly critical, slowly negative. And if you listen to the news, you will be. Amen. Very slow. It's not a fast thing. Notice what he said. Therefore, we must give more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest we drift away. That's the New King James. Drift away. Now, have you ever been in the ocean or in a lake and there's a little bit of an undertow, but you don't notice it, and you're just kind of paddling around, and all of a sudden you look and you're way away from shore. But you didn't feel you being pulled away. That's what he's talking about. It's not an instant process or you'd know it. It's a slow process. And all of a sudden you wake up one day and, you know, you're more negative. You're more cynical or whatever. We cannot allow that to happen. How do we keep that from happening? Let's go back to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, 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 which is a radical process. It is the Greek word metamorpho, which means metamorphosis. We know what that means. Radical transformation by the renewing of your mind. Not the renewal one time. It is a constant process. Just like you, when you get up in the morning, all your hairs on your head just don't fall automatically in place. You have to do something, right? Unless you shave them all off. And then it's pretty easy. But if you have hair or anything, you got to take care of it. It's a daily process. The same with our mind. It's a daily process. It's not automatic. By the renewal of your mind so that you can know what is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. That's why Paul said, if you are risen with Christ, and you are, set your mind, fix your mind on things that are above. Well, what's above? Not natural things, spiritual things. And we have a wonderful Bible that is full of God's thoughts. and God's words and God's principles that we can not only feed our spirit on, but we can renew our mind to. Now, the Holy Spirit helped me years ago in this area because I was raised, in a family. At that time, my father wasn't saved. Now he's saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. He's 87 years old. He's in good health. He was on my first church board, helped me actually do the construction of our first church, and was a great part of that. But prior to that, he wasn't a Christian. My mother was always, a Christian, loved God. She's from Germany. She was raised in the Lutheran Church in Germany, but in confirmation class, she came into a personal saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. She always knew God. My earliest memories of my mother, when she would read to me stories from the Bible, both in German and English, those are my fondest, earliest remembrances of my mother. My dad, on the other hand, was not saved. And of course, you know, I don't hold that against him, because if you're not saved, you're going to act like people who aren't saved. He had a very rough childhood and upbringing, so, it's amazing he turned out the way he turned out, to be honest with you. And so, you know, for about 19 years of my life, from him at least, I didn't hear encouraging words. I heard words I can't say in church. And so, you know, when you hear those things, you know, we have this saying, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. That's not true. It's very, very untrue. Proverbs said words are like the piercings of a sword that go down into the innermost parts of your belly. They affect you spiritually. They affect you first in your soul, and then your thinking affects your spirit. What you think on all the time affects what you believe. What you believe affects your behavior. Your behavior determines what you have in life, what you become in life. It is the enhancement, as one man said, and the maintenance of the perceived self, how you see yourself, that affects all behavior. I understand why people act the way they do. And people who have relationship problems have relationship problems primarily because they don't like themselves. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. I didn't like myself. I hated myself. I had a very poor self-image because of words I heard. Those words affected my soul, affected my believing, affected my self-perception. Just like the 12 spies who came back in Numbers chapter 13, 10 of them said, we cannot do it because we are grasshoppers in our sight, we're grasshoppers, and in their sight, they see us that way. Well, how did they know? Did they interview them? No. They were spies. You don't interview when you're a spy. So that's how they saw themselves, and they thought other people saw them the same way, self-perception. And that motivated them. That was their behavior. That was their confession. That's what they said. We can't do it. They're bigger. We're defeated. It doesn't matter if you're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. If your mind thinks about anything it wants to, and if you allow your mind to be conformed to the system of this world, you're not going to experience that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in its fullest. I was a graduate of Bible school, and I still had issues. And so the Holy Spirit led me to the Word of God. I wrote down about 20 verses in the Bible on 3x5 note cards, because we didn't have electronic devices back then. And I carried them with me, and I said them out loud every day for 3 years. Now, what was I doing? Unconsciously, I was doing what God told Joshua in Joshua 1:8. Don't let my word depart out of your mouth. This book of the law, which we would say the Bible, depart out of your mouth. But meditate it therein day and night. Meditate, one definition is to mutter or speak to yourself. Day and night, so that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. So there's two parts to mind renewal. You have to speak to yourself and you have to act on it. You have to say to yourself what God says about you. No one else is going to do that. You have to do that. You know, I found out, other than your spouse, obviously, if you're married, not too many people really, they're not as concerned about you as you are. And you understand, I'm not saying that in a negative way, but it's just fact. We're more concerned about ourselves and our family. We love other people, don't misunderstand me. But when it comes right down to it, there's not too many people that are just intimately concerned about you right where you are, other than God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You understand that. So you have to learn to speak to yourself. You have to. Nobody else is going to do that for you or can do that for you. You have to open your mouth and say what God says. There's something about speaking words, not thinking thoughts. You'll never win thinking thoughts only. Trying to defeat what the devil puts in your head, you cannot battle thoughts with thoughts. It does not work. Jesus opened his mouth and said, "It is written." That's the only example we have in the Bible of Jesus resisting the devil. And he used words, not just any words, he used the word of God. "It is written, it is written, it is written again. Then the devil leaveth him." "Do not let my word depart out of your mouth, but meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success." So I did that for 3 years, until the point my thinking was revolutionized. I can't remember how I used to think about myself. I had a terrible self-image. I did not like myself. I hated myself. Therefore, I hated to be around people. I was going to move to Alaska homestead, get away from people, so I couldn't see anyone for a year. And now I live in 8 million in a city of 8 million. That's probably the diameter of downtown St. Paul. Most concentrated, you know, per square foot population in the world. We've lived in nothing but major cities. 6 million, 30 million, 8 million, 15 million. And I wanted to be in a cabin in Alaska somewhere, away from people. But God can change all that. God's a people person. He really loves people. He loves you, and that's why you're here, and he brought you out of the kingdom of darkness, because he loves you. You're not here by accident this morning. I don't care what anyone told you, and I've heard this, you know, years ago, that you were a mistake. You were not planned. You're a mistake. Wish you were never born. Well, that helps your self-image. And I'm going to tell you this morning, there are no mistakes. You're not a mistake. You were preordained before this earth was created. You're here. You were born. I don't care what anybody told you. You're born because God wanted you here. And nothing could stop that. David said, "God knew me in my mother's womb before I was born, and he wrote a book about my life." If that's true, then you're here by purpose and divine plan. So you are significant to God in his plan. And you have to understand this. We're in this world, but this is not our home. This is not our home. We're like Abraham. By faith, he wandered to a place he didn't know where he was going. Said, "Well, God's not that way." Well, sometimes God will tell you to do things that don't make a lot of common sense. Not foolishness, but it just doesn't fit into the context of our mind. Sometimes we have to get outside the context of that. Just like he told the Pharisees, you know, can't put new wine into old wineskins. We have to stretch them, make them pliable. Sometimes God's thoughts don't fit into our thinking. And so Abraham was looking for a home whose builder and maker was not of this earth. Why? He was consumed with God and God's thoughts and God's plan and God's purpose. Doesn't mean you don't take care of natural things. But you understand, this is not your home. This is not your eternal destiny. You realize that? This is not it. You could have the nicest mansion on the face of this earth. It won't hold a candle to what God has. Not even close. Not even close. And there is a plan that God has for you. This life is training. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:8, "God, bodily exercise profits little." Amen. It is the word of the Lord today. But, I have to tease her. But godliness is what? Profitable. Unto all things, having the promise of this life and what? The life which is to come. See, we focus on this life. We forget about the life which is to come. Jesus is coming back. And we're all going to stand before Him to give an account of the things done through this body, whether good or bad. Anybody? We have to preach on that now. Huh? We will all stand before the judgment seat, Bema, B-E-M-A, reward seat of Christ, to receive the things done through this body. But you are being trained for a government position. Right now. When Jesus comes back to this earth, and we don't know when it is, He's going to set up His kingdom, and He's going to rule for 1,000 years. And you're going to be a part of that leadership, that government. The church today is going to be a part. You read Revelations, and you'll understand that we will rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years on this earth. This earth will repopulate. People will be on this earth. We are going to be a part of that theocratic government. You are. And you're being prepared and trained for that. That's only a part of God's plan. Because in the ages to come, in Ephesians, Paul described it best as ages, dispensations, to ages, plural, to come. He's going to continue to show the goodness of His mercy and grace to you. Think about it. You're not going to sit in heaven in a golden mansion, strumming a golden harp, looking at golden paintings all day long. No. This earth is like heaven. It's just defiled by sin. God created this place. He likes mountains and rocks and trees and streams and flowers. He likes that. He made it. But the devil messed it up. But God's going to come back and correct it. God loves things. He's a creator. He created you for a purpose. He made you not like an angel, but He made you a little less than Himself. He made you His son, His daughter, to be a part of His family. Hallelujah. For a divine purpose. That's why Abraham, Paul, all these men got a glimpse of something. I wish we could all just go to heaven for 10 seconds. It would change our life. But it's better to not see and believe. We already got that lesson from Jesus and Thomas. More blessed are those who believe and do not see. So you're blessed today. You're blessed. You haven't seen a lot of things some of these guys have seen, but you still believe. That helps strengthen faith. That, because only faith pleases God. Nothing else. Only faith. And so you are being trained and prepared for a tremendous plan that God has in store for all of us. There's something better than going to work, going to work, coming home, eating, going to bed, getting up, having breakfast, going to work, coming home, eating, going to bed, and on, ad infinitum. Now you have to do those things. But there's something else God's placed on the inside of every one of you. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as every man hath received the gift, so let him minister one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Every one of you has received an ability, a supernatural ability to be used primarily, number one, in the church. Secondly, in the body of Christ. An ability God has placed in you that only you can use. We discover that by growing spiritually and renewing our minds. And that ability enhances what God has called you to do in this natural world. God needs people in every profession. Every profession. Every profession, He needs you. Because you come in contact with people I will never come in contact with. Your pastors will never come in contact. Never. Never come in contact with. You do, because you are the salt of the earth, the light of the world, and you have something on the inside of you God wants to use. That's when you discover true contentment and fulfillment in life. Amen. You are special to God and to His plan and to the body of Christ. You have something in you that God wants to use. So let me encourage you today. Let's not allow this world around us to change us, change our thinking, squeeze us into its mold when it comes to thinking. Let's not do that. There's a story of a young girl when she was born, had a wide gap between her teeth, and every time she smiled, her father would say, "You have an ugly smile." When she became old enough and wealthy enough, she fixed her teeth. Now her teeth are perfect, but when she smiles, she still covers her mouth because she hears her father's words. So whose words are you listening to? Because you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You're a new creature in Christ. Hallelujah. You are a child of God. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing. But whose words are you listening to? Other people? Past experiences? No, listen to what God says about you. I don't care what anyone says about you. God is true. Let God be true and everyone else a liar. Let God be true. Let God's word be true. Because God's word is truth. Jesus said, my word is truth. Hallelujah. What God says is truth. What people say, and they can be mean, is not truth. It's not truth. Let truth change you. Amen. Change your thinking. Renew your mind. You are what God says you are. You are everything God says you are. You need to see yourself that way. Hallelujah. That's the way God created you. Think that way. It'll affect your believing. Your believing will control your behavior. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this body of believers, Father, who have prayed for us, supported us, and the work that's taking place in China. That's just one nation, but you love them too. And Father, we pray for this church, your pastors that you have placed here, the staff, the workers, every member. We pray for them that you'll continue to bless them and help them. Father, enlarge their vision, enlarge their thinking, give them creative ways to reach into their community and surrounding communities, Father. Help every member of this church see that they're valuable and precious to you, that they have something on the inside that you want to develop and use for the glory of God and for the expansion of the kingdom of God. Oh, Father, help us to see ourselves the way you see us and to act on that truth. Act on that truth. Hallelujah. That brings transformation. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this church. We ask your blessing upon them and every person here today. Every sekele mono fradaste kelimiando usta eroste komora fanambre felea. Embre foro prostekela ingrastukuru mongraste astekenambro ufa. Walk as you walk in the light of the Word of God. It'll bring clarity to your mind. It'll bring clarity to the plan and the purpose of God that I've placed on the inside of you. You will see clearly what I have placed on the inside as you begin to say what I have planned for you. As you begin to act on that truth, it'll come into focus. And the anointing, the power of God, the grace of God, the provision of God will begin to manifest itself in and through you. And the power of God will be generated in a greater way. And even those symptoms that you've had in your body that have been there for a long time will disappear. They'll completely be removed. And your strength and your vitality will be renewed. And your passion will be renewed. And the purpose of God will be fulfilled. So walk in the light of what I've said to you, not in the light of what others are telling you, but in the light of what I've told you years ago. Walk in that light. Stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of you. Don't let those words become inactive, but become active. Activate them. Fan the fire of God. Start saying them. Start thinking them. Start acting on them. Hallelujah. And the truth will become manifest in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for Jesus Christ. And we give you praise for it.